Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned in to Black Geek Movie Talk. It's Sunday, August 7th, and we're going to be reviewing Suicide Squad today. I am your host, Yolanda, and I'm here with my co-host, Elise.
Hello.
So we're going to be talking about Suicide Squad. I'm going to turn it over to Elise to give us a summary of what it was we saw.
So, we're reviewing Suicide Squad, written and directed by David Ayer, who wrote Fury, wrote End of Watch, wrote and directed those, and he's kind of like a cop guy, so this is kind of a new thing for him, comic book genre. So it basically starts off with Viola Davis trying to get permission to assemble a squad of metahumans in case a big bad comes along that the government can't handle. And, of course, this takes place after Batman v Superman, and Superman is dead. So she manages to assemble a little squad of villains, quote-unquote villains, and lo and behold, there's some type of big bad that emerges that's not human, and so they're called in to protect the city, to rescue Viola Davis, and generally cause mayhem. So we've got Will Smith, Margot Robbie, Jay Courtney, Joel Kinnaman, big cast, lots of things going on. Jared Leto, of course.
Let me interject and just say we will be referring to as Jordan Catalano for the remainder of this show. Okay, continue.
And that's kind of it in a nutshell. You know, without giving anything away, any, like, major plot points away, that's what happens.
Now, there's so much to talk about with this, Elise. I hope that you've had your readies and your get up and go, your fire to talk about this thing, because we're gonna talk about this, like, for real. We're going to talk about this because there is so much hubbub and craziness that it happened over the past couple of days about this stupid movie. So I want to talk about, it has to do with the review itself, so it's not like we're going to get too far off topic, because I think it directly speaks to this review and what I want to say about this film. So I hope you're fully present to talk about it. We might go over the 30 minutes that we're allotted here to talk about this, because I really want to get to the bottom of this. So we start every show first talking about feelings going in, and I will start by saying that, and this goes a little bit to what we talked about before on the show about marketing and how the importance of trailers. What I will say about this movie is the very first trailer, like way back when, I don't even remember when it was, before I think they started meddling and doing maybe too much with the trailer, I was actually looking forward to this. And I'll tell you exactly why, because I still remember, because I was thinking about this, leading up to doing this review, I was thinking about this. It was a trailer, and it was sort of like subdued. It wasn't like crazy, like a music video with music. It was like a subdued, almost creepy kind of music that I think that they might have played in the film that we saw yesterday. And I remember it was Margot Robbie's character. It was Harley Quinn. She was in a cage. And it was almost like this Silence of the Lambs-esque kind of thing that they were doing with her. that I thought was got me excited. I was like, okay. So this is like for real. Like this is like comics, but like grown up style. Like these are not villains to be trifled with. This is not funny, ha ha. This is like serious. These people are insane and they're dangerous and we should all be frightened and really rooting and cheering for the good guys to come in. Okay? I remember being struck by, I loved the way they did it. They showed Harley Quinn in the cage. It was creepy. The music was great. That's really all I remember from the first one. And I was excited then. Then, come however many, when we get closer to the release, and I don't know what happened. I don't know who decided they needed to tinker with it and play around. I have no idea. I became less excited because of two things. One, they showed too much. We saw the whole movie. If you've seen the trailer, you kind of don't need to go see the movie. You've seen the whole movie and the trailer. That's one. And then number two, I didn't like what they did, the choice of music. It was like they were trying to, I feel like this is what happened. They saw the trailer, or they saw the movie, or both, for Guardians of the Galaxy, and they decided, we need a cutesy, you know, pop song or something that doesn't really go, like, frenetic kind of energy, and it didn't work for me. It didn't work. Why? Because we already saw Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay? I already saw it. I don't need to see Guardians of the Galaxy again. Okay? And then it just didn't work. It just felt frenetic, and, like, I didn't know what was happening, and I got irritated, and I was like, okay, well, here we go. Here's doo-doo time. It's doo-doo time. So... that's my feelings going in. I went from looking forward to it, and then as we got closer, I didn't like the marketing. I didn't like what I was seeing, and I was like, uh-oh, I think we're in for a mess. We might be in for a mess. What did you think, Elise? Did your feelings change at all? Were you always looking forward to this? Were you not looking forward to this ever? What?
Before they released any trailers or any, like, anything, I was like, this is going to suck. I think maybe when, like, the set photos of Jared Leto as the Joker came out, like, he looks ridiculous. I didn't have that strong of an emotion, but I was like, just the cast, I was like, I don't know who Margot Robbie, like, what she done.
Really?
I was like, Will Smith has been getting on my nerves lately. I cannot stand Jay Courtney, the dude that played Boomerang.
Wasn't he in, I think you mentioned it before, but we won't get into that. Okay, keep going.
I didn't think David Ayers was a good choice for, I was like, it's going to be horrible. But then, I saw the trailer, and I was like,
But the first trailer.
All right, I'm going to give it a try.
The first one.
Yeah, the first trailer. But even the second, the subsequent trailers, I wasn't disappointed with. I liked the, I think.
Oh, really?
The one I remember was they used Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I know. Like, even the way they introduced the cast was very similar to Guardians of the Galaxy in the trailer. But that didn't really bother me. I was like, all right, whatever.
Okay.
You know, I was like, oh, you know, it'll be, you know, all right. I'm looking forward to it. And this is from someone who was like, it's gonna suck.
Okay.
I'm not excited to see this. Like, they got me with the trailers.
Okay. So it sounds like we had similar feelings of being swayed, like going back and forth between our feelings about this, which I think is interesting. And it's just interesting. I was going to make some sort of segue, but never mind. I want to get into this. So the film opens. We see it. Let's talk about some strengths. Let's talk about the strengths first, because You mentioned something interesting that I actually thought was a strength that you said that you didn't like, and that was the casting. The casting. I think, for me, personally, the strength of this film was the casting. Not all of it, but the strongest things, the things that stood out in my mind, specifically had to do with some casting choices and then the way the certain people brought those characters to life. So for me, going back to Harley Quinn, that was what the very first trailer got me, and she lived up to what I wanted to see. I'm not that familiar with Margot Robbie, and really for this, I think that was actually a benefit if you didn't know who the hell she was, because I was able to fully invest in who this character was. She is no longer Margot Robbie for me. She is Harley Quinn. I mean, I think it was spot on. And let me tell you something. I'm not even that super, super, super familiar with this character from the comics. I only know her from, like, some, you know, cartoons I've seen, kind of. I know in the back of my mind. I know from going to certain conventions, girls like to dress up as her for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Women like, just kind of bloody and be bad. She's perfect. You know, she for me is Harley Quinn. I thought it was phenomenal. She came on screen again, like I said, our introduction to her, she's in a cage. You know, don't be, you know, confused by her having a nice figure and blonde hair. This chick is crazy and she will kill you for no reason. Okay? And that's, I like that. I enjoyed her portrayal of that character. That's one. And number two, and towards the end, you know, she they didn't use her like her full like violently.
No.
Let me just say this though. Wait a minute. Viola Davis can do no wrong. Is that, like, the best role for her? I mean, was she in her full Viola? No, because that's not this character. What's the character's name? Amanda Waller. But was she brought to it? From the second she was on screen, I wanted to clap and shout and yell. Because she owned it. I believed, like, she wasn't intimidated. You know, she's in this room. She's the only, you know, black woman. She owned everybody in every scene. Like, it was wonderful to behold. I like that. I also liked, and you're probably going to disagree with me, this is less of a strength, really, and more just like, okay, he's not really getting on my nerves, although there were a couple of moments he did get on my nerves. Will Smith. He was Will Smith. He was Will Smith, really. He didn't bring anything new to this, anything like Oscar-worthy, but I don't think that this was the movie for him to do that. Like, this is a comic book movie. He showed up, he was Will Smith, and it worked. You know, in this, I wasn't like, ugh, you know? So I felt that was good. Jordan Catalano. I want to talk about Jordan Catalano. Let's talk about Jordan Catalano.
Yeah.
Or Jared Leto, to those who are not familiar with my so-called life. Here's what I think about his portrayal of the Joker. I was surprisingly good with his portrayal of the Joker.
Yeah.
Especially since, you know, I mean, we all know the last Joker that we saw was unfreaking believable, played by Heath Ledger. But what he did, what Jared Leto did with this, which is a testament, I don't know if it's a testament to him, a testament to David Ayer, I don't know. We saw a whole new Joker, a whole new brand. This Joker, this iteration of the Joker is terrifying. I don't know about you, but I've never been like having like a gut reaction frightened to the Joker like that before. Like, he was like straight up like gangster. Like, I didn't know that you could do that with the Joker.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Like, I mean, and that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot because after Heath Ledger, I was just like, everybody was suspect. I was like, you need to put that character
yeah.
to bed. They don't need to never try and ever do the Joker ever again. And he did his own thing with it. I mean, and it fit, that's the other piece, it fit into this whole darker, for lack of a better adjective, world. It's really, I mean, it really fit very, very well. So yay, Jordan Catalano. What about for you, Elise? We're talking about casting. So you said
yeah.
that initially you were turned off because of the casting.
Yeah.
Were there any performances in this that changed your mind about casting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I thought Will Smith was great. I thought Viola
okay.
Davis was great. I thought, I love Jordan Cattle. I mean, Jared Leto.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
was a legit slip. I wasn't even trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I loved mm-hmm. him. Who else stood out? Oh, Enchantress, when she wasn't speaking,
oh.
I liked her.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
I liked just the look, the costume. I for
yes.
like the first half of the movie. I liked
oh, yeah.
Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
which
so,
one was he again?
Yeah.
Joel Kinnaman. Which one was he?
Flag. Colonel Flag.
Who?
Like the
oh, yeah.
the regular the
yes.
tall blonde guy.
Right. Flag. Flag, yes.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like Diablo. So yeah, I mean most
mm-hmm.
of the cast was good.
yes. And would
yeah.
you say if we're talking about strengths of the film, that was definitely a strength, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we're in agreement about that. Yeah. Enchantress is another one of my positives that we'll go into. Okay. So the actual story. So you touched upon it in your summary. The point is that this takes place after Batman v Superman, and the Suicide Squad is being formed by Viola Davis's character, Amanda Waller, as sort of like an answer to, you know, this is a brand new world that we're dealing with, you know.
Yeah.
What's his name's character? The sheriff from Stranger Things. What's his name? Let me call his name for real.
Oh, yeah.
Was it he who said it, or was it Viola Davis's character who was like, you know, what would we do if Superman decided to come and basically, you know, create chaos? Basically, what would we do if Superman was not
yeah.
for truth and justice in the American way?
Mm.
And so the Suicide Squad is an answer to that. She gets these people together. She, how does she get them together? She's, like, got something on everybody. And the movie starts kind of with her, you know, like, each of the major players. This is how we got them, kind of. Because you
right.
have to have something on these people. They're not just going to, obviously, they're bad. They're not just going to be like, ooh, they're not signing up. These are not the Avengers. This is not the Justice League, right? So you got to
yeah.
get these people some kind of way. And so you alluded to something, Elise. You said the Enchantress in the first half of the film, you really enjoyed. And for me, the strength... when the movie falls apart is in the second half. And actually, not even the second half. It starts to fall apart a little bit earlier than that. It was almost like, I don't know about you, but I was like, oh, so we're jumping right into insanity? Like, you're not even going to let us, this is what's happening? We've only been here for 30 minutes, and we're already into, like, madness with CGI and stuff that I don't really care about. Okay, that's what we're going to
yeah.
do. Before we start sliding into what didn't work, let's camp out a little bit more in what did work. So, first half of the film, we're introduced to each of these guys. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. My favorite person in this was Enchantress. And
okay.
I, like you said, I loved the way she looked. I loved her introduction. I was like, oh yeah. And I thought, I mean, this is a spoilerific review. It's full of spoilers. She ends up not being on Team Good Guy. I was upset by that. I want to see more of this chick. She was awesome. She was awesome. And I found myself, there were a couple of people I wanted to see their own standalone movies. I want to see a movie about the Enchantress. Okay? I want to see a movie about Harley Quinn. Like, they touched on her. Like, what the hell? She falls in love with the Joker? Is that really her story? I don't know. Again, like I said, I'm not familiar with the character. But she was a normal chick, and she's a therapist at Arkham, or whatever it is, in Insane Asylum, and she falls in love with this crazy mofo? Like, what? Like, what the hell that's about? And then, like, he tortures her, and that makes her love him more? Like, what? Like, I want to see that movie. I want to see that movie. The heck with this. What about for you?
I would like to see some spinoffs. I mean, if the movie didn't do anything else, I was like, I'd like to see that actor playing that character in a better written, better developed and directed spinoff movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. Okay, before we start going into negative sound, is there anything else positive? We talked about casting. We've talked about, it seems like, the first third of the film drawing you in and making you want to, I can get on board with this. Was there anything?
Well, I was not impressed with the first third of the movie, the first act. I wasn't.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay, so what part of the film... Oh, go ahead.
As soon as they started introducing characters, I was like, where's Joss Whedon? Because I think he knows how to introduce an ensemble cast. It just...
Yeah.
So I wasn't impressed with it. I mean, I liked my old David, but I didn't...
Yeah, that's true. When they started, like, the whole, when they're just, like, introing each character, and so instead of sort of, like, showing us their stories, they like, told us, and it was, like, flashed up in, like, comic book letters, like, their name and what they were known for. And I was kind of like, oh, is that really how we're going to do this? Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
that wasn't so good. But, like, I just mean, like, you know, Harley Quinn's story, like, Viola Davis, that was all good. Enchantress. It did sort of fall apart, even in that first third, which I thought was the strongest part of it, which is telling. Because the strongest part still left some things to be desired. So are you saying, were there any parts of the film for you that stood out as, like, good? Aside from 5 minutes of, like, each character, was there, like, a segment? I'm trying to... that was good?
I can't think. I mean, I could probably name, like, moments that I liked where I laughed out loud. But I think for me, like, the strongest part was, like, the cast, some of them.
So, all right. So I guess we're going to Negative Town. Are we going to Negative Town?
Yeah.
Let me Let me say this. I'm going to start with something that's like dear to my heart, and then nobody else, you know, even when we have our guests, Hosan and you, seems to really be aware of as much as I am, and that's music choice. So my problem, even in the first third of the film that I thought was the strongest, my immediate problem was with, and I don't know what the job title is, music supervisor, whoever decided that for each of these characters that we're going to introduce, we're going to have a different pop song, a different top, you know, not like just like a score, not just like, you know, music minus it, but like pop music for each character.
Yeah.
I was upset. I was immediately aware of it and immediately angry because it took away the power to me of each of the characters, and it took away the power of the film, and I automatically felt like schizophrenic. Now, if that was the music supervisor, a director, whomever's intent was to make you feel like schizophrenic and angry, then they did their job.
Yeah.
Because that's how I was feeling. I was like, why are we, I'm all over the place. I can't, listen, I need a powerful musical connection made that enhances the story that we're telling and doesn't take away from the story. And I feel like the choice to have a different pop song every time a different character's on the screen took away from the power of the storytelling. And you're not supposed to be, you know, like I loved the choice of music for Harley Quinn, which is the same music. Well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know because it was so long ago, I can't remember. I was going to say it was the same music they used for the trailer, but that might not be the case. It was perfect. It was like this, I want to look it up. Like 50s, there was no, it was just like music.
Oh, right.
It immediately told the story. It immediately went with this character. And the music, the vocal comes in, it's a woman, and she's like, you don't own me, or something like that. Perfect choice.
Yeah.
Perfect. That was the best choice they made in terms of music. And then, but everybody else, it was just like this frenetic kind of craziness. And I was like, can we make up our minds? So that was the first negative for me. And like I said, that started in the first third of the film, which unfortunately was the strongest. So that tells you, you know, how much further they, you know, the movie declined for me. I should say we're not done with this review, and we've only got like a minute left.
Oh, really?
yes. That's why I said to you, because this is, we gotta get into this, because there's a lot to discuss. I don't want to, you know, be offhanded in my review about this, because there's a lot of people who are, like, upset, and they think that people are out to get DC and all this nonsense, and that's simply not the case. That's not the case. You know, you either make a good film or you don't make a good film. And it's nobody's fault that it just so happens that the majority, not all of them, but the majority of Marvel films that have come out have been better made, better written, better directed.
Yeah.
You know. So at least for you, like we're about to go off the air. What for you? When did the decline begin?
Probably when Enchantress goes to, I get like you said, like the end of the first act, the first half an hour in, I was like, this isn't gonna work, because I'll tell you right now, I didn't understand the whole Enchantress being the bad guy. I was like, well, that was easy. I thought she was under there. It was too contrived. And then something just wasn't I got to tell you, like, the action scenes for, like, a big-budget action movie weren't that impressive to me. Like, nothing was – I wasn't like, oh, that's cool or, you know, nothing really impressed me. And like you said, the use of the pop music didn't come off. Like, it didn't work. I remember, like, that Eminem song. I was like, oh, you know, I like this song, but I was like, why are they using this? It felt like they were just throwing stuff in to throw it in. And a lot of the jokes, like, it was just, like, hit or miss. And I didn't know if it was, like, editing or just the timing of the actor. I didn't know what it was, but it was, like, half of the jokes just fell flat. It was just, like, it was silent in the movie theater. And then I got to tell you, people are going to, you know, poo-poo this, but I kind of had a problem with the representation of women and minorities. I was kind of like, I was glad that it was a really diverse cast, but, like, when Slingshot gets out of the car and punches the agent and was like, she had a mouth on her, I'm like, that was really kind of like a simpleton kind of writing a script, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Why? I understand hitting an agent. He's a bad guy. He hits cops.
Yes.
Why that comment? Why Margot Robbie had to be in it like a song basically for the whole movie? When I don't know what that. I always remember that character. She has like the jester costume on and like the cat suit. So I was like, why is she in the song? And then, I could get over that, but then I was like, her fight scenes aren't even that cool. Like, if you're going to objectify her, then at least give her some kick-ass fight scenes.
Right. Yeah.
They were kind of lame.
Yeah.
So I
That's
don't
a
know.
Good point.
And then the whole Killer Croc, I was like, this is basically Jar Jar Binks for DC. Like, he's Jar Jar Binks. I couldn't. Every time he came on the screen, I was like, "This is he doesn't even need to be in the movie." And I like that actor. What's his name? Adewale. I don't know his last name. I was like,
that was Adewale or whatever. Oh no, I love him. Yeah. Oh, when is somebody gonna give him a film? We could.
Yeah,
that's the dude that we saw right at the grocery store that
time.
Oh my goodness, ladies, so attractive, but you would never know it. They're always casting him in, like, this ugly makeup, or he's the lighting is all wrong, and he looks crazy. So attractive, this guy.
Right.
Listen, Elise, can we write a film where he can be the star and be, like, the romantic lead? Because this guy,
leading head.
Oh, my God, so attractive. English, okay, we're getting off track. But Margot Robbie, you're absolutely right. Because I was thinking, I was like, okay, why is she a threat? Because, again, I'm not familiar with her character. But she wasn't doing anything in this movie to me that would single her out as someone that we would want on the Suicide Squad. Because, like, what is she going to do with her bat? With her bat against real alien threat? You know what I'm saying? I mean... And then I was thinking, well, it's kind of similar to the complaint that we have about Black Widow and what's his name, Hawkeye in Avengers, because it's like here's these regular dudes with their guns and their parkour against magic. Like, what are you going to do with your gun against some Asgardians? You can't do nothing. This is silly. But at least. Black Widow has, like, super, super awesome, like, fight scenes.
Yeah. Like, crazy, ridiculous fight scenes.
Crazy, ridiculous. You're like, oh, come on. And, but this, you're right. I was like, I didn't get any sense of why she would be a threat. She wasn't doing anything super fabulous that either one of us couldn't do with a little training in the, you know. I take Tai Chi. and here's my back. I didn't understand. Yeah, and the fight sequences, I was not impressed with at all. They were just a big fat mess. And the unfortunate thing is that we got to them, like, really quick. It was, like, after about 30, 45 minutes, and I was like, oh, we're already in the messy part of the film now? Like, we're not going to try and develop this at all? Like, at all? And I didn't really understand the motivations. Like, we didn't, and this is the complaint that we talked about before. You mentioned Joss Whedon introducing a large cast of characters and doing a job where you connect with each of these people. Each person is their own person. You understand their motivations. And then when they come together, you see how those motivations, how they play off of each other. I didn't get a sense with this why, at one point, Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie's character says to somebody, you mess with my friends or something. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, when did you guys become friends? Like, huh?
Yeah.
What happened?
Diablo is like, I already lost one family. And I was like, this is the family? When did that happen?
When did that, did I miss a portion of the film? Like, what?
Yeah.
I must have missed like 2 hours of the film. Now, I did have to get up to use the restroom, but it didn't take me 2 hours. It wasn't long enough for them to establish that they're family now. And especially since you're dealing with people who are evil and don't want to be there. That's what I thought. Like, they're bad.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a little bit more than we're in like one fight together for us to come together. Like, I didn't understand that. It didn't ring true to me. And then the fight sequences were messy. I didn't care. I completely checked out. Unlike the last big fight sequence we saw with superheroes, which was, who was it, Captain America 3? Captain America 3, I don't remember the title. That was phenomenal. That was a phenomenal, you know, large-scale battle that I cared about. I completely checked out. Oh, I was like, oh, it's CGI time? All right, let me go to the restroom really quick. and messy. So I think that we have talked in large portion about like what made this messy. We talked about, you know, I don't know these people's motivations. You know, they should be motivated just to get themselves out. We haven't established a thing where we're family or we're even friends yet, because I thought everybody was a nut job and only cared about themselves. And I never saw a part in the film that would make everybody like really come together. I understood Jordan Catalano's motivation. He, to me, was the one person who stayed true to who he was. Like, he's a nut job. He's not teaming up with anybody. Like, I would like to see, you know, why he's so close to Margot Robbie's character. I think we've already talked about that. I want to see that movie to explain, but sort of in flashback, you understand that these two had some crazy sort of connection to each other. I don't know why, but that at least makes sense. He's not connected to anybody else. It'd be interesting to see how he's going to react to his girlfriend apparently being part of the Suicide Squad. Like, how's he going to feel about that? You know, because I don't see him joining anything anytime soon. Amanda Waller's character, I think she kind of stayed true. I don't trust her for a second. I think that she would kill any one of them at the drop of a hat, which is what she should. Until we see her in a few more films, and something happens to make that change, you know. But everybody else's motivations I didn't understand. Throwing in Batman. What did you feel about throwing in Batman?
To be fair, though, like, that would have been all right if I didn't detest Ben Affleck as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been all right. The same thing with having Ezra's fake Flash show up. Like, that would have been all right if it was Grant Gustin. But, you know, I was like...
But that's the point, though. That's the point, Elise. That's the point I'm trying to bring up, is that it didn't work because you're trying to create, you know, some sort of relationship. You're trying to force the audience have some connection with that character. We haven't had a chance. Ben Affleck hasn't had a chance to be Batman yet. And that's always been my complaint from Jump Street. So not only don't they care about what the audience thinks, I mean, they really don't care. I mean, it's almost like they despise us. It's like, oh, so we didn't just finish seeing Christian Bale and Christopher Nolan's Batman? Like, that never happened. We're just going to pretend like that never happened and I didn't connect to that way of telling Batman. You're just going to force this other Batman down my throat so much so that you don't put him in just one, but two huge films with all these other characters. It just rang false for me, and it made me angrier. That scene where he lets the little girl jump in front of him and the dude, like, I don't know if that bothered anybody else.
I was like,
did that bother you?
That was ridiculous. I was like, why isn't he saying, why isn't he pushing her out of the way? He's just going to let the little girl. That didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. I was like, really?
What?
Oh, this is the Batman? Okay. All right. I'll tell you what, though. I don't think Christian Bale's Batman would have done that. I don't think 2 seconds. Or let me say this. If he did, we would have seen a series of movies, or even one movie, which would show us him getting to that point. Like, would explain why the Batman that we all grew to know and love would let a little black girl take a bullet for him. I want to talk about why Batman now stands to the side while the little black girl gets shot. I want somebody to tell me how we got to this point. How did we get here, folks? I don't know because I didn't see it. I didn't see a film that explained it. You all, just all of a sudden, I'm supposed to accept that Batman shoots people, he brands people, he lets little kids take the like, no, I'm not buying that. That's BS, and I'm not buying it, and I don't like it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay, so we're off the air, but I think we still have a limited time. I think we probably got, like, maybe 2 minutes before they just shut us down. So let's give this some ratings, unless there's anything pressing that you can recall that you need to speak about. Like, for me, little black girl jumping in front of Batman, Batman not doing anything needed to be said. What about for you?
Can somebody... Okay, Enchantress, whoever the model slash actress, I think Cara Delevingne or whatever it is, towards once she like got her power back, or part of her power, and she's holed up in the city, I was like, I just didn't understand what she was doing with her body. I think she was trying to act.
Oh, is she dancing?
What are you doing? And was she that bad that they just had to cast someone else to do the talking? Like, were they? Like, you know what, Kara? We're going to cast this real actor, and then you just be naked and, like, twist and gyrate awkwardly. In front of this green screen, and then like mouth along the words. I didn't understand what was going on.
Wait a minute. I think we're talking about two different things. I'm talking about at the end when the Suicide Squad is there, you know, the final showdown, and in the background, I saw her and she was doing this ridiculous, like she was dancing. It's like, but not good dancing. And I was like, is this her choice? And then letting her do this? Like, this is what the Enchantress would do to make the supercomputer? That she would gyrate like that? It was distracting to me. She was in the background, and it was still distracting to me. I was like, why is she doing that with her body? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. I'm talking about whatever that sweet dance she was trying to do. It was like she could. I don't know what happened, but that dude just didn't come.
They should have, like, made her redo that.